As Burgoyne continued pushing through this wilderness by land at the painfully slow rate of 1 mile a day, the Indians were spread out in front of the army. They were gathering intel for Burgoyne. This was when Burgoyne most needed his Indian allies, but they were stirring up all kinds of trouble.
Since several of the horses, which the savages had taken as booty or stolen, had been bought by our regiment for transporting some of the baggage, the order came today that no one was to buy a horse from the savages.
This is a big problem for the loyalists if the army is stealing from them.
Yes, Marshal, but that was only the beginning of his problems. Here's a story recorded by Dr. Asa Fitch, an historian who documented local stories 60 years after the war. He spoke to local resident Maria McEachran. Maria was 18 years old and recently married at the time of her sister's horrible murder by Burgoyne's Indians.
My father, Yeri Kilmore, told my brother Adam to go and help Alan get in his wheat. But Adam felt lazy and wouldn't go. And father used afterwards to say he could forgive Adam for all his disobedience. He was so glad he disobeyed him at this time. So he sent his Negro, Tom, who was a young man grown, in Adam's place. And the wench Sarah, who was about 12 years old, and my sister Catherine also went along. They went on foot early on Saturday morning and were to return home at night. They wrought together in the harvest field, Mistress Alan binding the sheaves, the black girl carrying them together, Alan and Tom reaping, and Catherine at the house taking care of the babe and getting their dinner. She having gone for this purpose, the Mistress Alan might help in the wheat field. To make more sure of killing all, it was supposed the Indians lurking in the woods, waiting till they should be all in the house at dinner. For 'twas then that the attack was made. Catherine and the Negroes not coming home at night, on Sunday morning father sent the boy Abram, Tom's brother, on horseback. When young Abram returned home, he was choking and crying. He could scarcely, for a time, make out to them the tale. They thought at first he was afraid of the Indians in the woods, and had lied to them about the families being murdered as an excuse for his fears, and to get them to send somebody home with him. Alan was found on the path, near to the barn. A piece behind him was Catherine. Behind her, and halfway from the house to the barn, was Mistress Alan, with her babe in her arms and placed at her breast, where it must have been put by the Indians. For to scalp it, they must have had it out of its mother's arms. The two children and the Negro girl had tried to hide themselves in the bed, for they were found there, the bedclothes gashed and bloody from the tomahawks. Blood was tracked all around the floor. Bullet holes were perforated through the door, and there was one bullet through the cupboard door in the northeast corner of the house.
Wow, that is a gory story.
This was a war. Things were gory. And if you read newspaper accounts, it could even be more graphic.
Was this close to where we are now?
Yes. This happened in Argyle, a town just east of Fort Edward. But it shows you how the Indians were way out ahead of the British soldiers and igniting the settlers' fears.
The Burgoynes said if they stay in their homes, they wouldn't be harmed.
Well, this was a clear sign to the local inhabitants that they were not safe. While some did remain in their homes, others hid or took flight. Here's the rest of the account from Maria McEachran.
The next day, Sunday, we heard of the murder, and fearing our house would be sought out and we be murdered, we forsook it, and in our two boats went onto the island in the lake, where we stayed all night, not venturing to kindle a fire, lest it should reveal our hiding place to the Indians. Next day, some of our neighbors passing saw our house deserted. Alarmed, they called our names, walking along the lake shore. Hearing and seeing who they were, we answered and came ashore. Cheered up by them, we concluded it was better to stay at home and defend our house if attacked than forsake it, and thus invite its being destroyed.
But Grandpa, why are the Indians want to kill innocent people or destroy homes?
Because the Indians did not record their own history. It is really difficult to say what their motivations were for doing what they did. Some have suggested that they were taking revenge for one of their fallen warriors, but that guess is really as good as yours or mine. I can tell you one thing, though. Fort Edward was on the cusp of the Albany settlement. With an increased population, you increase the chance for the casualty of innocent bystanders. And that means trouble.